Jonas Lomberi opens the car door and steps out. The drizzle mists his shaved head, and his cotton blazer offers little protection against the biting wind. He's on the verge of pulling on his overcoat, but rejects the impulse, and instead shuts the door of the gleaming, freshly waxed Maybach. After all, he's a former member of police special forces who has dived into frigid water in full tactical gear and lain for 8 hours on a metal roof, rigid from the sub-zero temperatures, staring through the sights of a sniper rifle without moving a muscle. He is shot to kill more than once and has been shot at just as often. One of the bullets, propelled by a 9mm belonging to a Swedish-speaking bank robber in November 1998, left a permanent scar above his knee and started the countdown to the end of his SWAT days, which forced him to switch to the private sector. Over the course of his long career, knives and bicycle chains have been wielded against him, but he has usually walked away from such encounters the victor. Although he has a firearm at home, he hasn't carried one since his law enforcement days. No, he puts his faith in the Israeli self-defense system, Krav Maga, in which he has 40 years of experience and a black belt, second Dan. So there's no question he can puff on a cigarette without an overcoat, even if the wind blowing off the sea tonight is downright murderous. The temperature is slightly above freezing, but he feels like he's standing in an air-conditioned freezer chest. Lomberi places a cigarette between his lips, lights it with a butane torch, and scratches the scar tissue at his neck, which itches in the cold. The tinkle of a wind chime carries from the direction of nearby buildings. He takes a drag and glances up at his boss's windows. The boss, who seems to have aged 10 years over the past three. Since his wife's death, Zetterbury's step has gradually grown slower, and it has become harder than ever to establish any sort of contact with the old man. Lomberi's thoughts turn to his mother, who is a year younger than Zetterbury and lives in an assisted living facility. Alzheimer's has tightened its grip on her during the past few months, plunging her more recent memories into oblivion. Her future isn't looking too bright, and sometimes he wonders if he ought to snatch her away and take her off to live out the rest of her days somewhere where the sky blows a soft Mediterranean breeze instead of this icy drizzle. Lomberi exhales the smoke from his lungs, and it flees instantly with a gust of wind. He glances at his watch again, as if to check how long the cigarette has been burning. He takes a few sharp drags, drops the butt to the ground, and as he does, he notices his phone on the Maybach's passenger seat is ringing. Lomberi climbs into the car and picks up the phone. The name flashing on the screen is Prince Charles. An inappropriate joke, of which the elder at Zetterbury would no doubt disapprove if he were aware of the nickname Lomberi has bestowed upon Oxel. In his interactions with the family, Lomberi is always polite, but never fawning or officious. The boss man himself wanted it this way.
"This is Jonas."
Oxel Zetterbury's voice is agitated.
"Hi, Jonas. I'm just calling because..."
Lomberi does what he does best. Waits patiently.
"Are you with Dad?"
Oxel finally spits out.
"Your father is at home. I'm downstairs in the car."
"I thought you were supposed to come straight to the restaurant."
"Your father wanted to stop by the apartment."
"Okay. Dad is expected here at the restaurant and he knows it."
Lomberi leans forward to look up at the corner windows of Zetterbury's apartment. They glow with a faint light.
"He's not picking up. He almost always answers."
Now Oxel sounds concerned.
"I wouldn't call you, but he was complaining earlier today about not feeling well."
"I'm sure he'll be..."
"Go up and check on him. But do as I say, Jonas."
"Certainly. I'll go upstairs."
Lomberi opens his car door and pushes himself out. In all likelihood, there's nothing to worry about. But under no circumstances can more than a couple seconds pass between the tiniest suspicion and action. That would be unprofessional,